Blog Talk Radio.
Lord, I've got
run on
and see just
what the
end is gonna
be.
Every day I'm making
preparations
to see God's face. Anybody here gonna
run on
and see
what the end.
Y'all like that?
It's gonna be.
Can we try it again?
Whoa.
I got
run on
and see just what the end
is
gonna be.
Every day
I'm making. Come on, put your hands together.
I've got to run and see.
I'm just gonna tell you one more thing. I found out in this race that if I
try
and
myself
in Christ, then
I can have.
I got a witness here. If you don't mind, would you just tell me?
I got a made up man to run on
and see
what the end
is gonna be.
I'm making preparations. I wanna see
his face.
I'm gonna run on. The Bible said it. You know, I heard the scripture that if you ask, it shall be
given.
Seek,
you shall find.
Can I get a witness when I said knock, and the door
be open
unto you? Can I get a witness?
There's some folks today that just come to church. Look how y'all looking at us. Some just come to look and some come to praise.
Yes,
but we got news for you.
Yes.
Whatever it is today. Fellas, y'all just step to your mic and just say, if you can't
help me,
don't try
to stop me.
I've got a race to run. How many of y'all feel like that? And I'm
running by.
Pastor, I believe.
Sometimes you have to move.
Yes, sir.
And go
Good evening. Good evening. It's 7:06. Welcome to the First Baptist of Holly Spring Bible Study Power Hour. It is the first Sunday, the first Tuesday in the month of June, and we welcome you to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour. I am the pastor, Reverend Michael Rogers. I'm glad you have joined us tonight. Of course, you know that First Baptist is located at 208 Grigsby Avenue in the city of Holly Springs, North Carolina, where we are having in-person service. You are cordially invited to come and be a part of the services of First Baptist of Holly Springs. We start our service each Sunday morning at 10 a.m. We are in the sanctuary at First Baptist. You are cordially invited to come and be a part of the services there. We invite you to go to our Facebook page. Go there. Don't forget to like and then share so that you can stay in touch with us and we can stay in touch with you. We will have on our Facebook page more information about First Baptist. You'll be able to see our Sunday morning service. We go live every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. on Facebook. You can watch the First Baptist of Holly Springs Sunday morning worship service. Then, of course, you'll find the link for the Bible study, which you're listening to right now. That area code and the call-in number is area code 845-241-9839. Area code 845-241-9839. You can call that number. You can be a part of the Bible study tonight. So go to the Facebook page. You'll find all of the information. You'll find ways to give to the house of God. You'll find all of the information concerning First Baptist, Wake Baptist Association, and the General Baptist State Convention of North Carolina. I want to first thank the women of First Baptist for a wonderful 100 Women in Red program on last Sunday. I want to thank Dr. Ronald Avery and St. Matthew Missionary Baptist Church of Raleigh, North Carolina, for a wonderful, wonderful program. We enjoyed you all so much. We enjoyed having the fellowship with you all, and the preaching and the singing was just excellent. And we just thank God for you. We will be with you on the 15th of this month at St. Matthew Missionary Baptist Church in Raleigh. I also want to remind you that we are approaching our revival. We do have revival this month, June the 8th and June the 9th at 7 p.m. nightly. June the 8th, we have Reverend Gregory Mitchell of Emmanuel Praise and Deliverance Ministry. June the 9th, we have Elder Michelle Jones of Kingdom Builders Ministry. And the services start at 7 p.m. nightly. You are invited to come and be a part of the revival service of First Baptist this week, this coming Thursday and Friday. Of course, we want to send our condolences out to the Ward family and all of those who are connected to that family. We understand that Uncle Charlie has gone. He has transcended. And we just thank God for the time that we had with him, and we pray God's blessing upon the family. We must stay in prayer for all of those families that are going through, the bereaved families, the sick families, people who are in the rest home, people who are in the hospital. We have to stay in prayer because, therefore, by the grace of God, it could be us, and it will eventually be us. So we have to stay in prayer so that we will know that God is still in control. We are not only do we stay in prayer, but we stay in contact so that we will be able to comfort those who are going through. There is times in our lives when we need comfort. We need encouragement. We need others to know what we're going through. So it's good to stay in contact with one another. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this Bible study. We thank you for those who are on the line, those who are listening over the internet, those who will hear this Bible study long after it has been recorded. We ask now, God, as we go into our scriptures tonight, that you would give us clarity of heart and clarity of mind, that we must know what thus saith the word. We know, God, that you did not leave us without a word, and we thank you for that. We thank you for times like these when we can go to your word and we can find consolation for our soul. This we pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Also, don't forget that this is Men's Day. Men's Day is Sunday at First Baptist. We invite in all the brotherhood of everywhere. If you are a man and you are in the area, we invite you to come to Holly Springs, First Baptist of Holly Springs, for Men's Day, Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Our lesson tonight has one word, Rebecca. I call this lesson Rebecca. Even though we're talking about Jacob and Esau, Rebekah plays a very important role in this lesson tonight. We have a very long lesson. I hope to be able to get through as much of it as I possibly can. I might not be able to open the lines for everyone to speak tonight, but I want to make sure I get through this whole chapter tonight, because it's very important that we know that God is working in the midst of all of this, and that God is doing his duty, his will, as we read these scriptures tonight. Now, from the outside, those who are not of the household of God, they will look at this particular story and they will see nothing but a woman who had a son that she favored over another, and a woman who worked against her husband. But as we know, those of us who are in the household of faith, we know that God is always in the mix, in the part of all that's going on. No matter what is going on, God is working it out. And even though it may look like a woman deceiving her husband and favoring one child over the other, you must understand that God is part of that as well. We're in the book of Genesis, the 27th chapter. Genesis, the 27th chapter. As I said, this is a long lesson, so I'm going to read blocks of scripture. I'm not going to read scripture for scripture tonight. I'm just going to read blocks of scripture, and then we'll talk about those blocks of scripture as we go along. We're going to start in verse 1. We're going to go to verse 4. Genesis, the 27th chapter, Genesis 27. We're going to start in verse 1 and go to verse 4. Now it came to pass when Isaac was old and his eyes were so dim that he could not see, that he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son," and he answered him, "Here am I." Then he said, "Behold, now I am old. I do not know the days of my death. Now, therefore, please take my weapons, your quiver, your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me, and make me savory food, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die." The Bible says it came to pass, which means that time has moved on from the last time we talked about Jacob. Isaac is old now, and his time has come, and he is trying to put his affairs in order. He wants to do his last will and testament, if you will. His old age is evident in the fact that the Bible says that his eyesight was getting dim, and he could not see. Isaac was old, but he was perhaps not quite near death. He lived a long time from, we don't know exactly how long, but 137 to 180 years Isaac lived. So he says to his son Esau, he asked for food. He asked for him to go out, take his bow, take his weapons, and go out, hunt game, and bring back the game, fix the food, that he may be able to have the savory food. Isaac asked for food, but it seemed to be mostly glorying in Esau's power as a manly hunter. We later find out that he actually could not taste the difference between Esau's meat and his wife Rebekah's meat. It wasn't the taste of the food that attracted him. It was the fact that his oldest son, Esau, was a mighty hunter, that he would go out, kill the venison, and prepare the food for him. He said, "Do this so that my soul may bless you before I die." Isaac insisted on giving the blessing to Esau, the one whom God did not choose, who despised his birthright, and who married pagan wives. It seems that Isaac rejected godly thinking and spiritual wisdom, and instead thought only of food and common and man-centered ideas of might. It is well that we must understand that God is moving in the midst of all of this. And so Esau has been instructed by his father to go out and hunt, prepare food, and bring it to his father Isaac. Now we go to the second block of scripture, 27, still in Genesis 27. We're going to start in verse 5, go down to verse 10. Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to Esau, his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt. He went to hunt game and to bring it. So Rebekah spoke to Jacob, her son, saying, Indeed, I heard your father speak to Esau, your brother, saying, bring him game and make savory food for me that I may eat and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that I command you. Go now to the flock and bring from there two choice kids of the goats, and I will make savory food from them for your father, such as he loves. Then you shall take it to your father that he may eat it and that he may bless you before his death. You see, Rebecca is listening. I told you Rebecca plays a very heavy role in this lesson. Rebecca is listening. We don't know whether she was eavesdropping at the time or whether she casually just heard the conversation. I'm not saying that Rebecca spied upon Isaac. I don't know. But whatever the case, she heard the conversation between Isaac and Esau. And so in her mind, she decided that she's going to change all of it around. So she says to Jacob, now, therefore, my son, obey my voice according to what I command you. Instead of trusting God to fulfill what he had promised back in Genesis 25, Rebecca used manipulative scheming to accomplish what she thought was God's plan. Good men have gone very wrong trying to use manipulative scheming to fix God's plan. See how Rebecca erred in trying to get the promised blessing for Jacob. We don't know. Maybe God was going to cause the blessing to go to Jacob anyway. But the fact that Rebecca was involved made a difference. And Rebecca here changes the whole system of the birthright. Now, we know that Jacob and Esau had a conversation about stew when Esau was coming in from the hunt and he was hungry. And Jacob said, well, I'll give you a bowl of soup or stew if you sell me your birthright. But it wasn't solidified until Isaac gave the blessing. That's what it was all about. It was about Isaac's blessing. And too many times, beloved, we try to fulfill our own desires over God's will. And oftentimes when we do that, we make a mess. Let's go down to verse 11 through 17. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth-skinned man. Perhaps my father will feel me. Now I shall seem to be a deceiver to him, and shall bring a curse on myself, and not a blessing. But Rebekah, his mother, said to him, let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice, and go, and get them for me. And he went and got them and brought them to his mother. And his mother made savory food, such as Isaac loved. Then Rebekah took the choice clothes of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. Then she gave the savory food and the bread, which she had prepared, into the hands of her son, Jacob. This is a complete stolen identity. Perhaps he says, my father will feel me, and he'll know that I'm not Esau. Jacob, true to his name, was willing to go along with the scheme, but he wanted to make sure he didn't get caught in the process. See, when you are willing to abandon the question of right and wrong, and when your only concern is what works, we agree with anything that sounds as if it might work. There are many people who are locked up today, who are in jail, who thought that what they were going to do, they could get away with. And many times we think that we can get away with a lot of things, and not knowing that God sees all and God knows all. So he went and got all the provisions that Rebecca asked him to do. And once Jacob overcame his fear of getting caught in his deception, he was ready to carry out the plan. Rebecca manipulated both Isaac and Jacob, but Jacob was willing to be manipulated. Let me say that again. Rebecca manipulated all of them, but Jacob was willing to be manipulated. So the four of them, Isaac, Rebecca, Jacob, Esau, none of them actually trusted each other. Worse yet, they did not trust the Lord. Each one of them schemed and plotted against each other and against God. The whole story reflects on no credit upon the persons in concern. It just goes to show us what happens in families. They plotted and they schemed against one another. The worst aspect of this all is that they seem to regard the blessing as some type of magical or something detached from God's wisdom or detached from God's will. But in giving the blessing, the most Isaac could do was to recognize God's call and blessing. Only God could truly bestow the blessing, you see. Esau could receive the blessing from Isaac 100 times, but it only mattered if God was the one who honored it. Let's go down to 18 through 27. So he went to his father and said, "My father," and he said, "Here am I. Who are you, my son?" Jacob says to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done just as you told me. Please arise, eat, sit and eat of my gain, that your soul may bless me." But Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?" Here's another lie. And he said, "Because the Lord, our God, brought it to me." Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come near, that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not." So Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, and he let him feel him and said, "The voice of Jacob, this is the voice of Jacob, but the hands of my son Esau." And he could not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. Then he said, "You are really my son Esau," you said. He said, "I am." This is the second time. "Bring it near to me, that I may eat of my son's game, so that my soul may bless you." So that he brought the food near him, and he ate. And he brought him the wine to drink. Then his father Isaac said to bring it near to him, and he ate. And then his father Isaac said to him, "Come near now and kiss me, my son." And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled him, and he smelled his clothing. Two times, Jacob has impersonated his brother to his father. First time, he told him he was Esau, that he had brought the food. The second time, when Isaac asked him, "Are you really Esau?" he said, "Yes." Two times, he lied to his father. Sometimes it's difficult to discern a lie, beloved, and whether a statement is a sin or not comes back to the question of intent. Other times, it's not difficult at all, and here, Jacob clearly lied to his father. "Because the Lord our God brought it to me," he said. That was another tale. Jacob, this scoundrel, this man who would later be called Israel, has already fixed a plan to tell his father as to how quickly he was able to go out and hunt and prepare the food. He said, "Because the Lord brought it to me." Could do this because the only concern that he had was to get the blessing. Since he rightly knew that God wanted him to have the birthright, he justified any lie or other sin to commit to lie to his father, to steal his birthright. He likely did so telling himself that it was all for the righteous cause. You know, we always have ways of trying to make excuses for what we do and what we say. And so Jacob here receives the blessing from his father. And the blessing goes something like this that is read in 27b, and it goes on down to 29. "Surely the smell of my son is like the smell of the field which the Lord has blessed. Therefore, my God, give you all the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren, and let your mother's son bow down to you. Cursed be anyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you." This was the blessing that Isaac placed upon Jacob. Isaac blessed Jacob as the spiritual head of the family. Isaac had the right to bless whoever he wanted to, and he blessed Jacob, not knowing that it was not Esau. And this blessing that he gives him has such powerful words. May the dews of heaven, may God give you the dews of heaven, the fatness of the earth. The words of the blessing are filled with pictures of the Lord's richest bounty. They echo some of the words of the covenant God made with Abraham. He said, cursed be anyone who curse you, and blessed be those who bless you. Again, it is important to see it wasn't the bestowal of these words upon Jacob that made him blessed. Instead, Jacob was blessed because God chose him long before. What mattered was that God said the older shall serve the younger, not that Isaac should be master over his brethren. The point here is that the sovereign will of God is done, in spite of any other person's opposition or what anyone else has to say or do about it. And even though Rebecca is calling herself doing what she wanted to do, in all actuality, she's working, doing what God had caused her to do. Now, you got to remember that God instructed Abraham to find Isaac a wife from their own tribe. So this wife, Rebekah, was chosen for a reason, and she was chosen for the reason that we have right here. So in verse 30 to 32, Esau returns to his father with food from the hunt. Poor Esau, he's late. Now it happened as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob had scarcely gone from the presence of Isaac, his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from the hunt. He also made savory food and brought it to his father. And he said to his father, let my father rise, eat of his son's game, that your soul may bless me. And his father Isaac said to him, who are you? So he said, I am your son, your firstborn, Esau. As soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, the timing of each aspect of this story makes it all the more dramatic. As soon as Jacob receives the blessing and leaves from the presence of his father, Esau, the brother, comes in from the hunt. He says, that your soul may be blessed with me. We picture Esau hunting, returning, preparing the food with pleasure. He would receive the blessing from his father, and all the material benefits and all the material wealth of his father would come to him. But I imagine Esau was kind of puzzled when Isaac asked him, who are you? These questions may have seemed strange to Esau, but he remembered that his father was old and he couldn't see. And Esau probably first thought it was just a simple mistake. The blessing that Esau was supposed to get, we understand now, has gone to Jacob. And Isaac understands now what Jacob did. Then Isaac trembled exceedingly and said, who is the one who hunted game and brought it to me? I ate of it before you came, and I have already blessed him, and indeed shall be blessed. The Bible said that Isaac was changed. He trembled. Isaac began to shake convulsively. This phrase is a very strong phrase. He was overcome with deep sense of something that had gone wrong. Something had gone wrong in his mind. Something had gone wrong in his plan, for his plan to bless Esau instead of Jacob. Isaac trembled excessively. Isaac was troubled because he knew he had tried to work against the plan of God's revealed will. Later, by faith, Isaac did bless Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. But this really took Isaac down. He could not fathom that he had blessed the wrong son. Why would they fool me like this? How could this happen in my family? How could I have been so blind that I did not recognize my own son? As soon as Isaac perceived that he has been wronged and wishing to bless Esau, he does not persist in it. He will give Esau a blessing anyway, but it does not think for a moment of retracting the blessing that he's already given to Jacob. There in verse 34, we see the reaction of the man whose birthright has been stolen. There in 34, when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, bless me also, my father. But he said, your brother came with deceit and has taken away your blessing. And Esau said, is he not rightfully named Jacob? In other words, doesn't Jacob mean trickster? Doesn't Jacob mean someone who will supplant? Does not the name Jacob mean someone who will take someone's identity? For he has supplanted me two times. He took away my birthright, and now look, he's taken away my blessing. And he said, I have not received a blessing for me. Do you not have or reserved a blessing for me? Then Isaac answered and said to Esau, indeed, I have made him your master, and all his brethren I have given to him as servants. With grain and wine I have sustained him. What shall I do now for you, my son? And Esau said to his father, have you only one blessing, my father? Bless me. Bless me also, my father. And Esau lifted up his voice. Poor Esau. He wants the blessing anyway. He cried with exceedingly great cry. The Bible says it was a bitter cry. This is about the strongest description possible to describe the depth of Esau's anger and the horror that he was experiencing. So he says, bless me also, my father. Esau repeated this agonizing plea. Yet we understand that Esau valued his father's blessing mainly in material terms. He did not value the blessing in the spiritual value because the blessing had already been given to Jacob. But Esau said, well, bless me too, because I want a blessing. I want that part of the blessing as well. He took away my birthright. Both Isaac and Esau were grieved when they understood that Jacob did. And now Esau was concerned about his birthright. He was willing to receive a second blessing if his father had one. And when he saw it was a spiritual birthright, Esau did not value his birthright, because you remember he sold his birthright for a bowl of stew. And now Jacob has stolen his blessing. He has supplanted me two times, he said. Esau lifted up his voice and he wept. Esau's tears were the tears of frustration, tears of regret, tears of despising his own birthright. Poor Esau. And then in verse 29, Isaac gives a limited blessing to Esau. Then Isaac, his father, answered and said to him, behold, your dwelling shall be of all the fullness of the earth, or the fatness of the earth, and of the dew of the heavens from above. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. And it shall come to pass when you become restless that you shall break the yoke from your neck. Behold, your dwelling shall be of the fatness of the earth. These words of Isaac sounded more like a curse than a blessing. Yet, in fact, Esau ended up being a blessed man. Many years later, when he met Jacob again, he could say to his brother, I have enough, my brother. By the sword you shall live, he said. Whatever blessing and security Esau might enjoy, it would come skillfully, wielding a sword. He would have to fight for whatever he would get. His life would not be easy. Though he would be blessed, he would have to fight for all that he would obtain in his life and all that his descendants would obtain. You shall serve your brother, he said. Esau would be under Jacob, but not forever. The promise also was that Esau would break the yoke from his neck, that he would someday get from under Jacob's rule, under Jacob's hand. This angered Esau so much. This angered him so much. And so in verse 41, we hear Esau's anger. So Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father blessed him. Esau said in his heart, "The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then I will kill my brother Jacob." And the words of Esau, her older son, were told to Rebekah, so that she went and called Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, "Surely your brother Esau fronts himself concerning you by intending to kill you." Esau said, "As soon as the film's over, as soon as I bury my daddy, I'm going to kill Jacob." He had that in his mind. He had that in his heart. So the Bible said Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing. Esau's hatred rose against Jacob for many reasons, but mostly it was out of pride. You know, it's a hurtful feeling when someone takes something away from you. You feel like you have been violated. You feel like you have done nothing to deserve it, and you feel like you have been violated. And so it's reasonable to understand why this young man was angry. Even though we know that he said he was going to kill his brother Jacob, he never did, but Esau's somewhat spiritual concern for the blessing of his father quickly disappeared because of the hatred that he had for Jacob, a bitter hatred that also had murderous intent. Esau planned to kill Jacob as soon as Isaac's funeral was over. As soon as they put daddy in the ground, "I'm coming for you." That's what he said to one of his men. And somehow Rebekah, again, in the right place at the right time, finds out about Esau's plan, and she does what she normally does. She intercedes and she calls Jacob to her and tell us that Esau is angry. He has a hatred for you. "I'm telling you now, my son, you got to do something because Esau is going to come after you, and he intends on killing you. He's not just angry. He has murder in his heart." And perhaps Esau was going to test just how blessed Jacob was. His intention may have been to kill him in an attempt to defeat God's revealed will regarding the birthright. In verse 27, she concludes her plan. Rebekah makes a plan for Jacob to flee. "Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice. Arise, flee to my brother Laban in Haran, and stay with him a few days until your brother's fury turns away, until your brother's anger turns away from you, and he forgets what you have done to him. Then I will send and bring you from there. Why should I be bereaved also of both in one day?" And Rebekah said to Isaac, "I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heath. If Jacob takes a wife of the daughters of Heath, like those who are the daughters of land, what good will my life be to me?" I'm going to end our lesson today right here. This is a long lesson. We've gone 46 verses in one lesson. I skipped over a lot of stuff, but I wanted to get to the end of this particular chapter because I wanted to make sure that we fully understood what was going on in the midst of all of this. God is working in the midst of all of this. And even though it may seem like Rebekah is deceiving her husband and Jacob is deceiving his father, it is all a part of God's plan. Sometimes families are just dysfunctional, beloved. Sometimes things just don't happen the way they should happen. But you know what? Bible says that what God has for you is for you. And all things work for the good of those who love the Lord. And so tonight our lesson is just about that. It's about sometimes things don't work right in your life. Sometimes people try to steal things from you, or people try to do things against the will of God. But God ultimately has the last word, and God ultimately will be the one who will judge the quick and the dead. I'm going to open the lines tonight. I see a few callers on the line. I'm going to open the lines tonight. You're not obligated to speak, but if you would like to comment or have a question concerning your lesson, we can certainly talk about that, and we can discuss that as well. But I wanted to get this particular lesson out. We had talked about Isaac, Abraham, Isaac, then Jacob, but I wanted to get this particular lesson before I moved on, because Rebecca plays a very important role here in the Old Testament concerning the lineage of Jesus Christ. It all starts right here with Rebecca's concept and the way Rebecca dealt with these two sons and her husband. I'm going to open the lines and see who wants to speak tonight. Let's go to area code 336, last four digits, 3769. Are you on the line?
Hey, Pastor Roger, this is Reverend Williams. How you doing today?
Good, Reverend Williams. How you doing?
I'm fine. And you? I just thought I'd stop in and sit in. I love listening to you teach. And I just thought I would stop and sit in and listen while I was working.
Well, thank you. Thank you, brother. I surely appreciate that. Thank you so much. Let's go to area code 919, last four digits, 3447. Are you on the line? Are you on the line? Okay, let's go to another number. 919, last four digits, 1694. Are you on the line?
Good evening, Pastor Rogers.
Good evening. How are you, Deacon?
I'm doing good. On my way home from work, as usual.
Everybody's on their way somewhere.
Yes, sir. I listened to this lesson tonight, and the main thing I got out of it that I could pull from it that really stood out to me was how man, or in this case, woman, tried to do things on their own, in their own way, with their own power, or their own know-how, or their own skill, and it just won't equal up to what God has, and it's just a beautiful story. Once you get into the depth of it and understand what's going on and how God turns that thing around and around and around, and for the lineage of Jesus Christ, I thank you for the lesson. Thank God for you.
Thank you. Thank you, Deacon Taylor. Thank you so very much. I'm going to go back to area code 919-3447. Are you on the line? All right. Let's go to area code 919-2314. Are you on the line?
Yes, sir.
How are you?
I enjoyed the lesson.
How you doing tonight?
I'm good, doing real good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a few points here I wanted to say about Rebecca, not Jacob. She was the mastermind behind the Mission Impossible of our wedding, Isaac,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then neither Jacob nor Esau, neither one of them trusted each other
mm-hmm.
because it was a family of riddle and mistrust, because anyway they operated on deception and secrecy
mm-hmm.
instead of like honesty and being open,
mm-hmm.
you know, openness. And really in this lesson, each one of them characters, they illustrated that when we seek our own way, we never get what we wanted. And then we have to pay a high price for it.
Amen. Amen.
So And can you imagine that Esau, ignorant of the sale of, I mean, Isaac was ignorant of the sale of Esau's birthright, you know, to his mm-hmm. brother.
Mm-hmm.
But then it was saying it was evidence of Esau's disqualification in these scriptures here for his spiritual headship, and it was his marriage to, he married two Canaanite wives.
Yeah, he had pagan wives.
Yep.
All right. Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Area code 609, last four digits, 9126. Are you on the line?
Yes, I am, Pastor. Hello, everyone.
Good evening. How are you?
Good, thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I enjoyed the lesson tonight. I think everything that I might have wanted to say was basically already been discussed, but it all has to do with lies, deception, and how favoritism can be very harmful in any situation. And also God's will being done, you know, at the very end, it was God's will, because that's what mm-hmm. God wanted from the womb.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. I'm going to go back to 919-3447. Are you on the line? You are on the line. You just don't want to talk. That's fine. I want to ask, I'm going to go back and ask.
Can you hear me?
Uh-oh, there he is. That's Deacon Fuller. There's no telling where you are. Where are you calling from, Deacon Fuller?
I'm calling from the big city of Holly Springs. I'm home.
Oh, you're at home.
Yeah.
I know. Last week you were in San Francisco. Week before that, you were in Puerto Rico. No telling where you're calling in from. Good evening. How are you?
Hello. Doing good. Thank you for, no matter where I go, I'm going to carry the word of God with me. Keep me safe.
Amen. Amen. What do you think about the lesson?
This is one of these lessons where you, because the lineage of Jesus is coming from through the line of Jacob, and it makes you wonder: is it one of those things where the enemy means for good, bad? God means for good, and I hate to even say, but the lineage of Jesus came from deception. You see what I'm saying? It makes you think a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Something good came about it, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
2 minutes ago. Mm-hmm. That's the last note you broke.
This is one of the lessons that makes you think and go,
It does make you think of going, yeah.
Because I always thought as Rebecca as a devious, evil person, but I always thought about that. I always thought, not even to a degree of Jacob being an evil, deceptive person, because he was along with it. But you know, mm-hmm. something good came about of it, though. That's the reason why.
Amen. Amen. You know, this was deception on top of deception. As Trustee Mangum has said, everybody's lying to everybody. And it's basically a dysfunctional situation. Reverend Williams, are you still there? Reverend Williams?
Hello.
Reverend Williams, are you still there? All right. Let me see if I can get Deacon Taylor back on. Deacon Taylor, are you still there?
Yes, sir.
Deacon Taylor, we all have dysfunction in our families. There's always some cousins, uncle, brother somewhere that does something that's dysfunctional. We all have dysfunction in our families. How can God use that for the good of the family?
It has often appeared as time. It has often appeared at times it was God has lifted up that person mm-hmm. and showed them his plan for them, mm-hmm. or he has gave them ample enough time to get something right. When we think a person is wrong or is not a good person, and it just seems like everything is going their way, they go through a period or a situation that humbles them, that brings them down, that opens their eyes, that humbles their heart. At the same time, we may have family or relatives that it just seems like no matter what happens, you never see them defeated. You see them in a battle, but you never see them defeated. And they always have exactly what they need. Mm-hmm. They're not ballers, but they got everything they need, and people look at them like, hey, you know. And so there's two different examples how God can use or make an example of someone for others to see, and
right.
you know, and bring them humble down and say, what must I do to be saved? You know, how can I serve a powerful, mighty God like this? How can I be in the lineage of Christ and receive these same blessings? You know, so
mm-hmm.
it's a beautiful two-way thing.
Thank you so very much. You answered that question perfectly. I thank God for that. Like I said, we all have dysfunction in our homes and our families. We all have family members who are dysfunctional, and perhaps things didn't work out the way it should have. But as you say, God can use that as an example to bring others to humbleness, that we may understand it's God's will before our will. And so often we forget about the will of God when we're trying to get things done. I know we want what we want when we want it. But how do we know if that's what God's will is for us? And so we have to be prayerful. We have to be watchful. We have to be mindful of the power of God. And no matter what we do to try to supplant or go around his plan, it doesn't work. You see, one of the things that we found out as we get older in life is that God's will does not, he's not going to bend his will to match our plan. Even though you may be faithful, even though you may have go to church every Sunday, even though you may pay your tithe, even though you may pray, read scripture, God's will is still God's will. And oftentimes when I pray to people or pray for people, you know, we have a habit of asking God to do stuff that might not be in his will. So we must always say in our prayer that thy will be done in this person's life. You know, because we don't know what God's will is in a person's life. And we have to be prayerful. We have to be mindful that whatever we ask for, it has to go along, or it has to be a part of what God's will is. And so we have to first know what the will of God is in our lives. And then we ask God to sustain that and bring that to fruition so that we will fulfill the promise and the will that he has given unto us, that we will go forward and be a testimony to his greatness and to his power. I thank all of you tonight for being on the line. This is a very important lesson. Does anyone have a question or comment? Anyone have a question or comment? Reverend Williams, are you back on the line?
Yes, I'm here.
Reverend Williams,
I have to leave for a few minutes. I'm here.
Could you pray for us before we end tonight?
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you, Reverend. I always love to serve. So let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come boldly into your throne of grace to say thank you. Lord, bless this great church. Bless this great pastor, Lord. Lord, touch him from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet, Lord. Lord, give him the strength. If you find anything that shouldn't be, Lord, give him the strength to take it out and give him the strength, Lord, and make it right, Lord. Lord, bless his great wife, Lord. She is a fine woman. Bless her in your name, Father God. And Lord, most of all, bless each and everybody that is represented in this Bible study. Lord, touch their houses. Lord, you know what they need. In your name, Father God. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams. Thank you. Does anyone else have any last words? Don't forget, Sunday is Men's Day. we're looking to have a great time with the brethren in the church. Now, brothers, you know that the sisters always help us. Amen. And I was kind of disappointed Sunday that the brethren weren't there to help the sisters. Now, we'll talk about that in our private moment. But I just wanted to mention the fact that, you know, we got Men's Day coming up Sunday. And, of course, the sisters are going to help us. We know that. But I want you to remember that, all right, so that next time the sisters need us to do something or be there for them, we have to make sure we do that, all right, so that we can be the people that God would have us to be. All right, we thank God for all of you tonight. Y'all have a good night, and we'll see you next week. God bless you. God bless you.
God bless you. Good night.
God bless you.
See you. See Thursday night, Revival.
Oh, Thursday night. Well, Thursday night is Revival night.
Revival.
You're right. Thursday, we're in Revival with Reverend Mitchell, and then Friday night, we're in Revival with Reverend Jones. Each night, the service starts at 7 p.m., so come to First Baptist of Holly Spring so you can be revived along with us. God bless you. Have a good night.
Amen. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Just stop by to tell you, Lord, we can't do it without you.